Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 46, the Bible says this, "While he yet talked to the people," that's Jesus talking, "behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Father, I pray that you would use us this morning, and please help me to say the words you want me to say this morning. I pray that you would open up the hearts of everyone who's here, who's listening, so that they can hear your word and they can understand it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to make the decisions this morning that we need to make. Help us to grow closer to you. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage our hearts as we learn what it is to be part of the family of God, how to become part of the family of God, and what a great truth that once we are saved, we are part of the family of God. I pray that you bless the message this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple just real quick truths from this passage. Here you've got Mary and you've got her children coming to talk to Jesus. Jesus is teaching and he's in a place that's really full of people. And Mary and we don't know which brethren they are that are out there. It may have been James. It may have been Judas. There's a couple other ones that are there. And they were out there. They wanted to get to Jesus. They wanted to talk to him. And so the Bible says they stood without desiring to speak with him. So somebody came into Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, listen, your mom, your mother, and your brothers, they're outside. They want to talk with you." And Jesus looked around and he said, "Who are my mother and my brothers? Who is my family? Who are my mother and my brethren?" And he looked and he stretched his hand out at his disciples and he said, "These, the ones who do my will, they are my mother and my brethren." And in verse 50, "For whosoever," I underlined that in my notes here, "for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." And you got to realize, that's Jesus talking. It was Jesus who said, "These people, whoever they are, whosoever they are, that will do the will of my Father, the same as my brother, sister, and mother." A couple quick takeaways from here. First of all is this. You and I have as much access to Jesus as Mary does. You and I, actually she's in heaven now, but as she did. You and I have as much access to Jesus as any of his brothers did. This is important for us to understand because we live in a culture that's permeated by the teaching that Mary gets her prayers answered better than we get our prayers answered. That's just not true. Mary, yes, she was the mother of Jesus Christ, but she's not the mother of God. And you got to understand the difference there. But you can get your prayers answered just as much as she could. That's an amazing thing to me. It's an amazing thing that Jesus looked out and said, "Here's my mother and brother, and these people that are all around me, my disciples, those who are following me, those who are doing the will of my Father." We must always remember, here's another takeaway from this before we get to the message, that God's plan and purpose are bigger than ours. God's plan and purpose are bigger than ours. Jesus looked beyond his biological family and he included you and me when he said, "These are my family. These are my mother. These are my brethren." The person that came up to Jesus was thinking like you and I would have been thinking. This is your mother. This is your brothers. You should probably go talk to them because they're looking for you. But Jesus' plan was so much bigger than that. Jesus' purpose was so much bigger than that. The person that went to get Jesus really didn't understand. He couldn't see what Jesus was saying, but as Jesus looked out and he saw this group of people around him, these disciples, these Christians around him, as he looked at them, he said, "These are my family," bigger than I would have thought, bigger than anybody else that was there would have thought. You become part of the family of God, according to verse 50, by doing the will of God the Father. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50 is this, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother." Doing the will of God simply means doing what God wants. And the very first part of the will of God is to get saved. Let me give it to you from some verses in the Bible. The only way to become a child of God, according to the Bible, is to believe and receive Jesus as your Savior. So if you look at John chapter 1, verse 12, we've got a lot of places to go to, but I want you to see this one this morning. John chapter 1, verse 12, I want to talk to you, first of all, in this message, about how to become a child of God. Many of you already have. Many of you have already trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Many of you have believed on Jesus and received his gift of eternal life. And if you have done that, you are a child of God. But there may be some here this morning who have not done that, so I want you to see this. I want you to become a child of God. I want you to be part of the family of God. And in order to do that, John chapter 1, verse 12, there's many verses in the Bible that tell you how to become part of the family of God, but this one's just very, very clear. John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Look at the rest of the verse. "Even to them that believe on his name." There's two key words here, "but as many as received him," that's part of it. And the last part, "to them that believe on his name." The way to become a child of God is to believe on Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. There's so many ways to express that, different ways to say that. One of my favorite ways of saying that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe enough to ask him to save you. Are you willing to admit to him that you're a sinner? Are you willing to trust him to forgive your sins? See, God wants you to turn to Jesus so that you can have eternal life. This is really not the message. It's kind of like an introduction to the message, but I want you to understand, you can be part of the family of God. You can be a child of God, and that has to do with, as Jesus said, doing the will of his Father in heaven. It's not talking about being good. It's talking about trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me give you another verse. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We're using this phrase, the will of God. What's that mean? The will of God means it's what God wants. It's what his desire is. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, we've got the word willing. What is God willing? What does God want? So we'll see here 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Now look at this phrase, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If I was to tell you, you need to do the will of God in order to become a child of God, what I'm trying to tell you is you need to believe and receive Jesus Christ. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You need to turn to Jesus so that you can have eternal life. It's really very simple. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, there's more to God's will than salvation. But you can't even start walking down the path of God's will until you walk through the gate of salvation. If you're not saved this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, I can't make you, but if I could, I would. I want to convince you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can be part of the family of God, so that you can be a child of God. I'm going to give you a lot of verses this morning about being a child of God, being a son of God, being part of the family of God. Here's the first point of the message this morning, and it's this. If you're saved, you're part of the family of God. Jesus looked out, and I'm sure he saw his mother and he saw his brothers out there. He knew they were there. And he looked out, and in seeing them and knowing that they were there, he said, the ones who are my brother and sister and mother, that they're this group of people, those who do the will of my Father, those who trust me as their Savior. If you're saved, you're part of the family of God. Let me go back in history just a little bit. Early in the Scriptures, people referred to God as my God or your God or the God of my fathers. You may remember Jacob. How many of you remember Jacob in the Bible? That Jacob, not a Jacob that you know here, okay? Jacob in the Bible. So, you know Jacob in the Bible. You know, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jacob's brother was Esau, and Esau came and he threatened to kill Jacob, so Jacob ran away and he went back to where his mom came from. And as he was going back to where his mom came from, he built an altar. You may remember, we have a song, "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder." Anybody ever heard of that song? All right? Okay, three people. And there's a song about Jacob's ladder. He had this dream, and he sees angels ascending and descending, and he refers to God as the God of my fathers. He didn't call him father. He called him the God of my fathers. Interestingly enough, he goes and spends time working for his mom's brother, so his uncle. And he works there for, I believe it was about 21 years. And on the way back, he meets God. He wrestles with God. God changes his name to Israel. And then instead of Jacob calling God the God of my fathers, he changes the way he refers to God, and he says, my God. What a great change in his life. It's not just my father's God, but now it's my God, but still not my father. As you go through the Bible and you look at how people refer to God, Moses was there, the burning bush was there, and God appears to him in the burning bush, and Moses said, "Who shall I send? Say, sent me?" And you remember the answer, God says, "I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you." So there's a relationship with God, and they worship God, and they getting to know who God is, and they want to obey God, but he's still not called Father. The first time we see somebody referring to God as Father was King David. Whenever King David was about to die, Solomon was about to take the throne. And it's in First Chronicles chapter 22, verse 10. David says, "I wanted to build a house to God. I wanted to build a temple to God." You remember the story, but God said no. And the reason was because David was a man of war and he'd killed so many people. And the Bible says he's a bloody man. And so God said, "David, I'm not going to let you build the temple to me, but your son, he'll build the temple." And in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse number 10, David's telling that story. And he said, and this he's telling what God said. So God said about Solomon, "He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son. And I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." That's the first time we see God referring to somebody that I can see there in Scripture as father. "I will be his son. He'll be my father," is talking about Solomon. Later, when Solomon was retelling what happened in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 6, Solomon is telling the story of what happened that day. And he said, and he said unto me, "Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts." This is God talking. "For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." So most of the time through Bible history, people are referring to God as a lot of different things, but not as father. They call him God, they'll call him Jehovah, they'll call him my God, they'll call him God of my fathers, but not his father. And here with King David, the man after God's own heart, you start seeing him refer to God as a father. He refers to God a few times as a father. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10, the Bible says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever." In Psalm chapter 68, verse 5, David calls God a father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. David refers to God as his father. Solomon refers to God as his father. A little bit later, you've got a prophet named Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 63 and 64, in two different places, the first one's Isaiah 63, 16. You have Isaiah referring to God as Father. And I got to understand, the words that Isaiah wrote down are the words that God gave Isaiah to write down. These are "thus saith the Lord" words. And so as Isaiah writes these words, they are inspired by God. We know it's not just Isaiah calling God his Father. It is God telling Isaiah, "Write down that I am your Father." Isaiah 63, 16. Isaiah writes this, "Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer, thy name is from everlasting." What a great truth this is. As God gives this truth to Isaiah, and Isaiah writes it down, Abraham doesn't know who we are. Who else did he say? Abraham's ignorant of us, and Israel, or Jacob, he doesn't know who we are. But God, you are our Father. You're our Redeemer. Isaiah 64, verse 80 says something similar. He says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand." And he recognizes God as Father. And remember, because it's inspired, the inspired word of God, God gave these words to Isaiah to write down. God is saying, "Call me Father. I am your father. I'm not only your father, but in this case, he said, I'm the potter. I'm the one that made you, but I am also your father." Jeremiah wrote God's own words, saying that he was a father to Israel. Jeremiah 31, 9, the Bible says this is the prophecy Jeremiah writes down because God gave it to him, is inspired. "They shall come with weeping," Jeremiah 31, 9, "they shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel. And Ephraim is my firstborn. Okay, so there's a little bit of the history lesson, and you understand, for most of the time, people didn't call God their father. But David did, and Solomon did, and Isaiah, under inspiration of God, did, and Jeremiah, under inspiration of God, he called God father. Then Jesus began his ministry. And when Jesus began to preach publicly, he completely removed any doubt that God wants to be our father. Turn to Matthew 5, if you would. Matthew chapter 5, and as we preach this message about the family of God. If you've read Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount is what it's often called. Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6. I went through my Bible at one time and I marked all the places in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6 where God is called our Father. And it's astounding. It's just an amazing thing. And I guess here's why it's so amazing. Most of the people through scriptures didn't call God their Father, but when Jesus came to this earth and he says, listen, God is your Father. I want you to see a couple of them, and we'll move on more into this message. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And you could go through that chapter, and over, you see that God is referred to as a father. I'm turning there now so that I can, when we get to verse number 45, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. But in chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Over and over, now Jesus is making it so very clear, you can be part of the family of God. You can be in this family where God is your Father and you are a child of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Look at that one and we'll move on. But thou, when thou prayest, this is an amazing truth that every one of us needs to get. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to, now who's to say we're supposed to pray to? Thy Father. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is an amazing truth. All through Scripture, people referred to him as God, a couple times referred to him as Father. But now Jesus is saying, if you go into this place, this private place, he called it in your prayer closet, and you get away from people and you spend time and you pray and you ask your Father for something, your Father who is God will answer your prayers. What an amazing truth and change this is. The teaching of the family of God drastically changes the way we think about God. Now, if you were raised in church, you know God's your Father, and it's kind of like old news. And you're like, why are you making such a big deal about this? I knew this ever since I was like this big. Wait a minute. God's your Father. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may have a Father on this earth, and that's a good thing. But whether you do or not, you have a heavenly Father that loves you. You have a heavenly Father that hears you when you pray, and a Father that wants the best for your life and wants you to serve Him. The teaching of the family of God, it's amazing how this changes how we think. Not only is God our Creator, and not only is God the righteous judge, and He is both of those things. He spoke the world into existence. We were driving down the road, I think it was yesterday, a couple days ago, and one of my kids, it was Jonathan. We were talking about how long it took God to make the trees. And that's just amazing. God made all the trees just by saying it. He said, let there be, and all the trees were there. And they were already grown up, and wow. And God created everything in 6 days. We're talking about a week. Why are there weeks? You know how kids ask you lots of questions. Why are there weeks? Well, God created everything in 6 weeks. On the seventh day, He rested. You know what the next question is? Why did God rest? That's not the message this morning. What an amazing thing. God is our Creator. And one of these days, the Bible says that everybody will stand before God and God will be our judge. And that's a scary thought. As amazing as it is that God is our Creator, it's that scary, I believe, to think that God is our judge. See, a human judge, they might make a mistake, let me off the hook. God's not going to make a mistake. I am guilty before God because I am a sinner, and every one of us, we are all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And one day we will stand before God, and the Bible says, and the dead, small and great, will stand before God, and the books were open, and they were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So I will be judged, you'll be judged, and God is that judge. But here's what's amazing. Not only is he the creator, and not only is he the judge, the Bible says, of the quick and the dead, the alive and the dead, but he is your Father. Not only can people get saved, and not only can people have their sins forgiven, but people can be a child of God. Now, if you grew up in church, child of God is just one of those buzzwords and those little phrases that you've heard a lot, and it really doesn't make any difference to you. A child of God. If you were the child of the president, it'd be a big deal. If you're a child of the governor, it'd be a big deal. If you're a child of somebody famous, it would be a big deal. But the Bible says if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God. This is an amazing truth. Not only can you be saved, not only can you have your sins forgiven, but you can be a child of God. The Bible calls you a joint heir with Christ. That means God splits his inheritance between you and Jesus. This is an amazing thing. God puts us in his family. We're adopted into the family of God. And not only is Jesus the Messiah, and not only is Jesus the Redeemer, and not only is Jesus the perfect Lamb, and not only is Jesus the Son of God, but Jesus is the brother to all who trust him as their Savior. I can't explain it completely. I was going through my Bible, I'm looking, I just think, if I had a few more verses to help explain this completely, that'd be great. I can't explain it completely. If Jesus hadn't said it himself out of his own words, I'd consider it presumptuous to say that I could be a brother to Jesus. But Jesus is the one that said, he looked around and he said, those who do the will of my Father, and we understand as trusting Jesus as their Savior, those who trust me as their Savior, they are my mother and sister and brethren. I can be part of the family of God. Wow. If you're saved, you are part of the family of God. John chapter 1, verse 12, we already read it, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That kind of takes, do not take, or take not the name of the Lord thy God in vain to a whole new level. You know, it's like if I was to sit down with my kids and say, now listen, when you go out in public, don't do something that's going to bring shame to our name. Don't bring shame to the name of our family. You're part of the family. You're my son. You're my daughter. Don't go out and do something that's going to bring shame to our family. Take our name in vain. I take the name Christian. And I say that I'm a Christian. But when I go out in public, am I taking the name of God in vain? Not that I'm using it in vain. I may not say Jesus Christ in the wrong way and use it as a curse word. But am I living in such a way that somebody would look at me and say, oh, that's a Christian. I thought they were supposed to be better than that. Taking the name of the Lord God in vain. I'm part of the family of God. Listen to these verses about the family of God. I'm going to give them to you fast because I have a lot of them. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. God loved you so much and he bestowed the love on you to call you the son of God, the child of God. What an amazing thing that is. The next verse, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Wow. Philippians 2:14, the Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Romans 8:14, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God loved you enough to adopt you into his family, even though you were a sinner, even though I was a sinner, even though we turned our back on him, even though we rejected him. God loved you so much to bring you into his family, to adopt you as a son of God, as a child of God. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Daddy. The special close name that a son or daughter would use talking about their dad. And we can call God by that. Now we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. An heir means somebody who gets the inheritance. Somebody who the dad would look down on and say, that is my son. And if children, then heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. Wow. What an amazing truth this is. Romans 8, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay, I don't look like a son of God yet, really. One of these days. The Bible says we shall see him as he is. We shall be know as we are known. And what an amazing thing. And one of these days, the earnest expectation of the creature, that's me, I'm the creature, and I'm expecting and I'm waiting. The Bible says, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. One of these days it'll be a little more obvious. 2 Corinthians 6:17, the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. One more verse, 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, listen to this, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When I sin, Jesus Christ is my advocate with my Father. Wow, what an amazing truth that is. If you're saved, listen this morning, you're a child of God. God is your Father, and what an amazing Father you have. He's a Father who loves you unconditionally. A Father that purchased your freedom from sin. A Father that corrects you when you need it. Aren't you thankful for a Father that corrects you? Okay, come on. Aren't you thankful for a Father that corrects you when you need it? None of us like to be corrected. None of us like to be chastised. But I'm so glad for a Father that loves me enough to correct me, to get me back where I need to be. A Father that laid down His own life so that you can live with Him in heaven forever. A Father that's with you through the best days and the worst of nights. Wow. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is your Father. That'll change your life. Just to think, I can go to my Father, and I can talk to my Father, and I can ask my Father to provide for my needs, and my Father will provide for my needs because He said that He would, and He loves me, and He's with me, and He'll never leave me alone. The first point in the message is, if you are saved, you are a child of God. You got that? We ready to move on? Did we hit that enough from enough different angles? We got it. Okay. The second point is this. Has nothing to do with the first point, except the verse we're looking at, and that is this. Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters. All right? Boy, that is a major turn in direction, isn't it? Yeah. So Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters. There's a man out there. He's saying, hey, listen, Jesus, your mother and he had a mother. And your mother and your brothers, they're out here waiting. They want to talk to you. And Jesus said, he acknowledges that they're there. And he says, but these are my brothers and sisters who are here with my family. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 54, we have their names. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Everybody around knew this is Jesus and his mother's Mary. It's public knowledge. And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. All right, he's got four brothers. He's got a mother named Mary. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? So this is a very important truth to understand, and you'll see that here in just a moment. Jesus had brothers and sisters. That may not change your life, but it's going to help you from being pulled into false teaching. Because there's a false teaching out there that Mary had one son, and that was Jesus, and she was what they would call a perpetual virgin. That she always was the mother of God, and she was there's a lot of teachings about Mary that's wrong, that she was born without sin, and she gave birth because she had some special God thing in her. And she never had any other children. But I want you to understand, it's just really clear, right from the Bible, we're going to move on through this. Jesus had brothers and sisters. His sisters, his brothers were named James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. We don't have his sister's name, but we know that he had two. So there were six other kids in Jesus' family. Now, they weren't full brothers and sisters. We understand that because God was Jesus' father. But they were, we could call them half-brothers and sisters, if you want to call it that way. They were the human brothers and sisters. Mary was their mother. We assume Joseph was their father. But then you have Jesus, who Mary was his mother, and God was his father. So they're related, half-brothers, half-sisters there. But Mary was their mother as well. In John chapter 7, verse 3, I'm going to read a few verses here. The Bible says this, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples may also see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. So his brothers say, look, go on And don't just do your miracles here in this area. Go out and make yourself known. Go out there and show the rest of the world what's going on. And show the rest of the world these miracles. And the very next verse says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. The real people, real brothers, real sisters who really doubted that Jesus was the Messiah. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now, here's what I want you to realize about Jesus. He had to be exactly who he said he was, or his brothers wouldn't have believed him. Now, they started off in Jesus' ministry not believing who Jesus was. Go show yourself to the world if you're really that. But later in his ministry, they did believe him. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we saw that, I read it to you, and they continued, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. James chapter 1, verse 1, this is interesting. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. The man who wrote the book of James is James, the brother of Jesus. And even in his introduction, just an interesting thought, he doesn't say James, the brother of Jesus, he says James, a servant of Jesus Christ. James was one of his brothers who wrote the book of James. Became the main leader in the church there in Jerusalem. The other James, James and John, John's brother, Herod killed with the sword, the Bible said. This leaves James, the brother of Jesus, and he becomes leader in the church. Jude also was a brother of Jesus. In Jude chapter 1, verse 1, Jude, he doesn't say the brother of Jesus Christ. He says Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified of God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So Jude says, I am also a servant of Jesus Christ and I'm James's brother. Both Jesus's brother, but called him, this said they were the servants of Jesus Christ. One more verse, Galatians 1 verse 18. The Bible says this, this is the Apostle Paul talking. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now you put all those pieces together and you realize James and Jude were both brothers of Jesus Christ. Mary had other children, right? The reason I say that, and we're going to finish with this, is this last point. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. A lot of people worship her, and that is one of the reasons. Let me read from the Catholic Catechism. This is the 1994 Catechism. This is their doctrine of the Catholic Church. The deepening of faith in the virgin motherhood led the church to confess Mary's real and perpetual virginity even in the act of giving birth to the Son of God made man. In fact, Christ's birth did not diminish his mother's virgin integrity but sanctified it. And so the liturgy of the church celebrates Mary as a Parthenos, the ever-virgin, and they'll worship her as the ever-virgin, the one who miraculously gave birth to Jesus, which she did, but then they'll say, we worship her, well, they'll use the word celebrate her, as the one who never had any other children. But that's not the way it was. In Catechism, it's number 500 in their book, they say this, against this doctrine, the objection is sometimes raised that the Bible mentions brothers and sisters of Jesus. That's what we just did this morning. The church has always understood these passages as not referring to other children of the Virgin Mary. In fact, James and Joseph, brothers of Jesus, are the sons of another Mary, a disciple of Christ, whom St. Matthew significantly calls the other Mary. They are close relations of Jesus according to an Old Testament expression. So what they do there is they say, even though the Bible says they were brothers of Jesus, they're not really brothers of Jesus, because then that would make it so that they can't worship Mary because she's got other children. Okay, there's one more I want you to read. I just want you to understand this to help you to not fall prey to false doctrines. All right, here's the last one. Jesus is Mary's only son, but her spiritual motherhood extends to all men whom indeed he came to save. The son whom she brought forth is he whom God placed as the firstborn among many brethren. That is the faithful in whose generation and formulation she cooperates with a mother's love. Now, if you caught the first part, Jesus is Mary's only son, but her spiritual motherhood extends to all men whom indeed he came to save. I'm just going to ask you this question and we're going to be done. You have an opportunity to have Mary as your spiritual mother, but wouldn't you rather have God for a father than Mary for a mother? I mean, just consider this. You can have a human being for a mother. I mean, you really can't, but that's what they say you do. Or you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus said, you become part of the family of God. You become a child of God. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And God is your Father. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you a child of God? If Jesus was up here this morning, and somebody came in the back door and he said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers want to talk to you. Would Jesus be able to point at you and say, that's my brother. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's my sister. That's my brother. That person has trusted me as their Savior. That person has believed on me and received me as their Savior. Would he be able to point to you? Are you part of the family of God? Father, I pray that you would use this message just to get us to think this morning. First of all, if there's someone here this morning who has not yet trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they do that this morning so they can be part of the family of God, so that they can be a child of God and God can be their Father. And their sins can be forgiven and they can have eternal life and they can go to heaven instead of hell. Lord, I pray that they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, in other hearts this morning, maybe there are some who've already trusted you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you would reinforce the fact that they are a child of God. God is their Father. They don't need to go through life worried or concerned about what happens because God is their Father. They don't have to go through life doing without anything that God would want them to have because He said if we would ask Him, He's our Father and He would give it to us. Lord, I pray that we would take this truth and it would change the way we look at our life and we look at the way we live as with God as our Father.